Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We are special breakfast people here at Pantsu Politics, but not just when Beth and I are on the road. The truth is, I want something warm from the oven every Saturday morning and Sunday morning. It's just the truth. It makes it feel special, makes it feel exciting. I don't want to work at it. So the first time I ever saw Wild Grain, which is bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries, I was obsessed. You guys, I've been a member for over a year. It's amazing. It's so easy. Every item bakes from frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. You can fully customize your Wild Grain box. You can choose any combination of breads, pastas, pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. And for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit to start your subscription. Sometimes I make one single croissant just for me because I want to feel special, and they're so good. You heard me. Free croissants in every box. And $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/pantsuit. That's wildgrain.com/pantsuit. Or you can use promo code pantsuit at checkout.
Every time we think 2016 can't get stranger,
Russia gets involved.
This is Sarah from the left.
And Beth from the right.
You're listening to Pantsuit Politics.
No shouting, no insults, plenty of nuance.
Welcome to another episode, everyone. If you haven't gotten the chance, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or our exciting new Instagram account, at Pantsuit Politics. You can also become a supporter of the show by going to pantsuitpoliticsshow.com and making a one-time donation or becoming a monthly subscriber for as little as the cost of a cup of coffee.
I think it is important to begin the pearls today on a high note. Congress has done something bipartisan. Yay!
I saw that. It's very exciting.
So the 21st Century Cure Act passed the Senate 94-5 and 392-26 in the House. That is pretty good work. $6.3 billion of funding, including funding for Joe Biden's cancer moonshot. And I don't know if you heard any of the sound, Sarah, of the like really moving tribute that the Senate did to Joe Biden and the moment when they talked about naming part of this legislation for his son. I mean, it was really beautiful.
Everybody loves Joe Biden. I mean, I know not technically everybody loves Joe Biden, but sort of. Everybody sort of, even if you don't agree with Joe Biden, you sort of begrudgingly love him, I think.
So I'm going to talk about him again in a second. But this is the most significant piece of mental health legislation since 2008. It requires equal insurance coverage for mental and physical health. It includes grant funding to increase the number of psychiatrists and psychologists, which are in short supply. And very significantly for us in Kentucky, and I know many other states, there is a lot of funding to combat opioid addiction. So I think this is exciting. I'm looking forward to getting thoughts from some of our listeners who have expertise in this field, but I think it's a great start.
Well, I think that any start is good with regards to mental health. As I've been touring my local government, different departments, it's shocking how much every department spends basically dealing with the mentally ill.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, and it really straps resources and sort of stretches people's capabilities. So part of this bill requires states to use at least 10% of their mental health block grants on early intervention for psychosis using coordinated specialty care. So it's basically saying, how can we holistically support someone so that they can stay in school or stay in a job, but kind of get control of what's going on mental health-wise before it starts to take their life down a bad path. And I think it's exciting. It also requires the Attorney General to create at least one pilot mental health and drug court so that we start to look at treatment instead of incarceration. I think that really gets to your point, Sarah, that we just don't have the right resources for people, so we're shoving mm-hmm. them into the resources that are available.
Yeah, and it's just they get cycled back around. I mean, my biggest beef with this is not just that it's a waste of resources, but that it doesn't actually help these people.
Right. It harms them, right? It's mm-hmm. not even neutral. It's just we're perpetuating a problem. So very happy to see this happen. Very happy to see it happen on a bipartisan basis. Okay, that was the high note.
So, there will be no more of those on this episode of Pantsuit Politics.
We'll do our best, but we should mention that Istanbul has been hit over the weekend. On Saturday, two bombings in Istanbul, Turkey, killed 38 people, mostly police officers, and wounded 155 other people. You might, if you listen to our primer on the Middle East, you might remember my conversation about the Kurds and about how the Kurds as an ethnic group are so diverse that it's almost meaningless to use that label, the Kurds. The PKK, a group, a really militia group of the Kurds, is a terrorist organization in the United States definition. Now, the United States works with the Kurds in Syria, so it's not like the United States is against the Kurds. Remember, this is a very diverse group of people. So a small sect of the PKK, there's sort of a loose affiliation between this group, the Kurdish Freedom Hawks, or the TAK, have claimed responsibility for these bombings. They happened outside of a soccer game after the game ended. And it's just very frightening and I think indicative of increased instability in Turkey. So we're sorry to hear that. We're sorry to hear that Aleppo continues to take a beating and we're kind of at the rebels' last stand in Aleppo. It's just been a really tough news week from the Middle East.
Definitely. I also was really disturbed by the recent, it was really an op-ed columnist, but it was a report from the, did you read this from Manus, Papua New Guinea?
No.
About the refugees? Oh, it's so disturbing. So Manus is an island in the South Pacific near Australia. And it's sort of become where Australia banishes asylum seekers. And there are massive and cruel mental, physical, human rights abuses going on here. It's, you know, it's sort of just this, it's not even purgatory, it's like hell. And the report from Roger Cohen at the New York Times was incredibly disturbing and just not something you expect to read about how other human beings are being treated in 2016, especially in Australia. So we'll put a link to it in the show notes, but I think it's just indicative of the fact that places all over the world are dealing with refugees, and I'm not really sure anybody is doing a good job. Maybe Canada seems to be sort of doing a good job, but this in particular was very, very disturbing.
I just feel like there's an overwhelming amount of suffering. Mm-hmm. And I know that probably always exists at any given moment in time. It's just how much awareness do we have of it. But I am truly overwhelmed by the amount of suffering happening in the world right now.
Yeah, and I started reading more about the war in Yemen that sort of has gotten forgotten and all the attention being paid to Syria. And there is some, real suffering, particularly among children going on there. And it's so overwhelming. Like you said, it just doesn't seem like So the Middle East is so complicated and the repercussions are so far reaching.
And that situation directly impacts Americans because you think of all of the military members who have spent time in Yemen and the American people as a whole have no idea what's happening there, right? Like, it's impossible for us to properly support our troops when we don't even understand where our troops are and what they're doing. We had this really interesting exchange on Twitter with our listener, Jason, who is a military officer, about this sort of vacuum created around our military because of the complexity in the Middle East. And I think he's going to come on in January and talk with us more about that. But Yemen is a place Rand Paul has brought up several times. Like, when we heard Rand Paul speak a few months ago, he focused on Yemen, and the crowd was sort of disengaged on that. I think people were expecting to hear him talk about the election. And instead he was saying, look, let's talk about what's real. And let's talk about, not that the election isn't real, but the things that have lasting, serious consequences for our country and for the lives of people around the world. So you're exactly right. I mean, there's so much in the Middle East that we don't have a handle on. Well, I said I was going to return to Joe Biden, so I will return to Joe Biden now with my compliment for the other side. I was listening to the speeches to honor him since he is, you know, coming to the end of his term. And I loved what Mitch McConnell said about him. And it sounded so true to me about how he has been strengthened by all of the tragedy in his life. I loved the line that there's a reason that get Joe on the phone means that we're about to act. And I agree with you. I think even where you have significant policy disagreements with Joe Biden, it's kind of hard not to have some respect for him, because I do think he really believes in what he does, works really hard, tries to get things done in a way that respects our constitutional process and respects his colleagues. So tip of the hat to Joe Biden today.
Mm-hmm. I love me some Joe Biden. So I will use the compliment the other side to lead us into the suit, which is I am going to compliment Lindsey Graham and John McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, who have called, along with several Democratic leaders, for a bipartisan investigation of Russian influence into the U.S. election. I shared this on my personal Facebook page. I think I did it on our Pantsy Politics, and he said, John McCain, I really had a lot of, already had a lot of respect for John McCain, but he was said, this is too important for this to become a partisan issue, and I couldn't agree more. So with that, we will head into the suit.
This is the portion of the program that reminds me of a dearly beloved Kentucky expression. What in the Sam Hill is going on?
I mean, I think that Russia influenced our election. I don't really think it's that complicated at this point.
I want to understand exactly what happened, when it happened, how it happened. I want to understand those things. And yet, I feel like even if I had all of those answers, saying here is exactly what the impact was is really, really difficult.
Yeah, I just, look, here's where I'm at with this. Anywhere from, depending on whose count you pay attention to, 2.2 to 2.8 million people, additional people voted for Clinton. This is not a Gore lead of what, 100,000 or so people? I don't know how much Gore won for, by. Do you remember?
I don't.
Somewhere around.
It was narrow, yeah. Though. I mean, it was narrow.
Yeah, it was narrow. It was not almost 3 million people. And now you're talking about Trump winning in three traditionally blue states by a margin of under 80,000 votes. So let's assume they didn't actually hack the election, which I am not assuming at this point, and they just influenced it by hacking both the DNC and RNC email accounts, but only releasing the DNC. We've all seen that infographic that's like the conglomerations of words people heard about each candidate, and email is massive on her side. Now, yes, that is some of her email server controversy, but when they hacked the DNC emails and contributed to an email storyline, is it really hard to believe that since we're talking about an under 80,000 vote margin in traditionally blue states, that this didn't influence the election? What? Like, why? And I am so furious with Mitch McConnell and with the fact that Barack Obama was like, okay, I think they're influencing the election. And in an attempt to, you know, I don't know, play nice, be respectful of our checks and balances, whatever, went to the Republican leadership and was like, okay, should we say something? And Mitch McConnell was like, I don't know, I'm not convinced. Oh boy, you really? Why would you not be convinced by this? What possibly do you have to gain from us keeping this a secret until after the election? I mean, I'm riled up about this.
What an impossible position President Obama has been in throughout this entire process. I don't think that we will ever be able to tease out exactly why the votes fell as they did, even if I accept absolutely everything that you just said. We should point out that it's disputed whether the RNC was hacked or not. Reince Priebus very forcefully says that the RNC was not hacked. The CIA seems to have given its propensity to, this is what I heard David Ignatius say this morning, and I thought it was well said, that the CIA is more comfortable acting on inference because that's their culture and that's what they're supposed to do. The FBI is not at all comfortable in acting on inferences. They want provable facts, right, that can be established like in a court of law. And so the FBI has not said that the RNC is hacked. So that we don't know conclusively yet. What I'm worked up about something too, and here's what it is. I'm worked up about the fact that, one, our leaders have had information about this throughout the course of the election, and this has been sort of a backstory, but not something that we've prominently aired out. I'm also worked up about the incoming president taking to Twitter to criticize our intelligence community. I'm very worked up about that.
Keeps lying. He just lies. He keeps lying. It was the greatest electoral victory. 46 out of 58 is not a great electoral victory, or whatever. It's something close to that. Like, why?
It's very low. It's actually low. A very low margin if you look at the history of the Electoral College. So I agree with you. That's false. There's no mandate here. I don't understand why his surrogates keep overplaying their hand, too. You know, the election is over. There is no more need to speak in hyperbole constantly. It's undermining. And I just, the fact that he just gets on Twitter and says, well, what does the CIA know? Oh my gosh, like the CIA is about to be the absolute best tool that you have in the world.
But he's not going to use it. He's not even going to get the daily intelligence briefings because he's very smart. He must be confused about what intelligence means in this situation. It means spies, dumb. Sorry, yeah, I'm not being respectful for our current president-elect, but I'm over. Like, and then appointing the Secretary of State who's a friend of Russia and gets awards from Russia. And I don't want to be friends with Russia. I'm sorry. I don't think that's a good idea. I think the fact that they wanted you to win and now you're, you know, blowing up our relationship with China and mouthing off to the CIA and acting like you can trust Vladimir Putin more than you can entrust the Central Intelligence Agency? Save us, Electoral College. Save us.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Can I get something off my chest? Every day I feel a little pang of sadness because I think about Griffin going away to college. Y'all, he's a freshman in high school. This is not healthy or normal. This is why I have it on my list of things to talk to my therapist about. We all carry around these things, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us. Therapy is a safe space to get these things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist anytime for no additional charge. You gotta get it off your chest. And you can get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/pantsuit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/pantsuit.
If you're looking for a very quick salon quality, but not salon priced manicure, Olive & June has you covered. We've talked about Olive & June's Mani system before. It has everything that you need for a professional manicure in one box, salon grade tools. Your choice of 6 polishes. Those polishes are going to last you for 7 days or more. The cost breaks down to about $2 a manicure. Olive & June also has press-ons if you want. What I love, though, is that Olive & June each season is coming out with new colors, and I just got a set of spring and summer colors in quick dry polish. They say this dries in about a minute. It seemed dry to me in about 30 seconds. It was not kidding about being quick dry. I also love the light colors in this set. There is a huge range. My favorite one is called Kitten. It's like a pinkish gray. The quick dry polish gives you full coverage in one or two coats. It lasts for more than 5 days, and it is offered in more than 40 cruelty-free and vegan polishes. Olive & June just understands what's happening in our lives, that we need to move quickly, but we want to look great and feel great and have fun in the process. Visit oliveandjune.com/pantsu for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/pantsuit for 20% off your first mani system.
Just finished A Court of Thorns and Roses and craving another fantasy world to devour? Dipsy's got you. Dive into spicy enemies to lovers' tales or embark on an epic romance between immortal fae and sworn foes. They've got fantasy romance stories perfect for your morning walk, late night, or long bath. Dipsy is an app full of short, spicy audio stories. They bring scenarios to life with immersive soundscapes and realistic characters. Discover stories about second chance romances, adventurous vacation flings, and hot and heavy hookups. And there's a growing library of fantasy series with werewolves, Greek gods and goddesses, Regency era historical fiction, and fairy smut to explore the bounds of your pleasure. New content is released every week, so in between listening to your favorite stories again and again, you can always find something new to explore. For listeners of the show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/pantsuit. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/pantsuit. dipsystories.com/pantsuit.
I wonder what will happen with the Secretary of State appointment, because we've been talking for a couple of days about Rex Tillerson, the former CEO of Exxon, I guess the current CEO of Exxon, as though this is a done deal. But we've talked about Mitt Romney like it's a done deal. We've talked about Rudy Giuliani like it's a done deal. It does keep changing, and this seems like such an, regardless of how, like putting all of the merits of Rex Tillerson aside, right? Whatever you think on the pro and con, just in terms of public relations, this seems like something you would take off the table given where we are right now.
I'm very concerned, because I think that foreign policy is, I don't think, it's just a fact. It's one of the most influential areas in which a president acts. He is not careful. He shows no aptitude for carefulness. He shows no desire for carefulness. And we live, as we previously mentioned in the Pearls, in very scary, complicated times. And I do not think this man is up to the task. So there's now a group of electors calling for an intelligence brief before the Electoral College votes. I mean, I used to think it was such elitist baloney to have the Electoral College to protect us from everybody, the crazy masses and all the stuff, except for, it's not even the case here. Now we're protecting ourselves from 80,000 people in Florida, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, and giving it back to the 3 million people. I'm overestimating the numbers now for hyperbolic effect. But, like, I just, I don't understand. I've lost all my nuance here. He's scary. I was trying to give him a chance. He has shown no aptitude or, like I said, no aptitude or desire for carefulness at every single turn. He still tweets at Saturday Night Live. He, you know, is seemingly trying to use some Taiwan as some sort of bargaining chip. He's letting his daughter, who is in the middle of contract negotiations with a company owned by the government of Japan, sitting in on meetings while simultaneously saying he's going to give his company with varied and complicated foreign conflicts of interest to his children who are running his transition team. Like, what is happening? Sorry.
I think it would be a better thing for the country to have a new election than to have the Electoral College decide the outcome of this one.
Whatever. That's fine. I don't care.
Well, and I say that not to be smart aleck or argumentative. And just thinking about what happens if the Electoral College chooses to go with the popular vote instead of the map that has shaped up, I just wonder how destabilizing that is. Now, I think a new election is hugely destabilizing too, but I mean, what else is kind of in a destabilizing time here.
Yeah. I mean, what is... somebody messaged us about this, and I get that, but, like, you know what else is destabilizing and disenfranchising? Having a candidate that got almost 3 million more votes and didn't win. And then telling us that a foreign government influenced the election in favor of the candidate who did not win the popular vote. Like, that's pretty destigmatizing and demoralizing and just plain old angering.
The popular vote versus the Electoral College is a hard thing. I fall on the side of, we have these rules, this is our process, this is how it works out. I don't think the Electoral College should sit back and say, maybe this time we like it better on the popular vote side. I think that's a bad thing for the country.
But the Electoral College is also intended to protect against basically the masses making the wrong choice. Like, let's not fool ourselves in thinking that this was just about, oh, we really want, this is about geographic fairness. That's not what it was. The Founding Fathers were some elitist, intellectual, aristocratic people. And they also thought that maybe let's just be extra safe. And so if the masses make the wrong choice, we have these smarty pants electors who could undo what they did. Like, let's not, like, that's what it's for, too.
And I guess my point, I don't dispute that at all. I think at this moment in our history, the idea of an elite group telling the masses they got it wrong,
but they
promises
didn't get it wrong.
us, but promises us worse than Donald Trump in the long term. I think that would be hugely problematic for our country. I think everything is problematic. I'm never good at being in this position of arguing for anything around this election, right? Because in my dream world, Evan McMullen would have won Utah, and I'd be arguing for the Electoral College to put him into the office.
I'm not sure Evan McMullen agrees with you. I'm not sure Evan McMullen, with his background in intelligence, thinks anything's worse than Donald Trump at this point, from what I've read, from what he said.
Well, that's fine. I'm not saying Donald Trump is a good option under any circumstances, process-wise. It really scares me to think about the long-term effect of the Electoral College changing the outcome of this election. Now, I do think that giving that group as much information as possible is important. I don't know who could make the decision about a new election if that's where we ended up. I don't know how you tease out Russian influence versus actual impact on the votes. I think this is all enormously complex. And to me, the most credible voices right now are those saying, let's understand what happened. Separate and apart from the outcome of this election, let's understand what happened, because a foreign state influencing our system in this way is unacceptable, no matter what you think the outcome of this election should have been.
So how do you feel about the Supreme Court giving the election through the Electoral College to George Bush the last time we had a conflict? I don't feel like that was hugely destabilizing.
In those terms, exactly. Now, look, I think that was a horrible situation for the country, too. The fact that we're still talking about it shows that it's not great. What the Supreme Court did was say, we're not going to have this recount go forward because of the timing under Florida state law. So it's another instance of the court saying, And look, people are going to email me. They're going to disagree with that characterization. I understand.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I disagree with that characterization. What happened? I mean, to me, though, in this situation is, it's not just the Electoral College coming in and saying, I don't know, it's just 2.8 million people is a lot of people. And the margin he won by is small. And this man is dangerous. We think a foreign government interfered. I just think that we've got a lot of things here. It's not like somebody just going in and being like, oh, we want to do it different this time. Like, there's a lot going on here. Like, it's not nothing. I don't know.
Sarah and I have talked many times about our desire to age as gracefully as possible, and skincare is a huge piece of that. I spend a lot of time and money thinking about my skin, and I have added Ritual to my routine, which just gives me a lot of comfort. Ritual is here for us. They have created a wrinkle support skin supplement and conducted clinical studies, so we know it's working. They're taking the guesswork out of skincare. Ritual Hyacera is one of several Ritual products that I love. I take the daily multivitamin, I take a probiotic, and Hyacera is that once daily skincare supplement that is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles and fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. I recently met a friend for the first time in person as opposed to online, and we were discussing the fact that I am 43, and she said, "I cannot believe how young you look," and I thought, thank you, Ritual, for that. Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/pantsuit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/pantsuit for 25% off.
Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. And they've even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit right. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get 15% off your order with code PODCAST15.
There's not much worse than a dry, itchy scalp. Also, when you get your hair colored and then it does not last as long as you and your stylist discussed, it could be that unfiltered, mineral-filled water is the culprit. Hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin, and about 85% of the United States uses hard water, filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use code PANTSUIT at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
I just don't want to lose the ability to understand that there are people who supported him and who still support him. And a long-term consequence of every decision made in a particular moment. And I don't want to lose the ability to zoom out and think about those impacts. Do I think Hillary Clinton would have been a better president? Unequivocally, yes. Do I wish that all of this had turned out differently? Of course I do. But this is where we are, and I just want to find a way through it that doesn't undermine our entire constitutional process. Russia is doing that enough for us. I don't want us to contribute to that as well by being in this place of thinking, gosh, a lot of us know better than the people who voted the other way.
But it's not even about, like, it's not even about that for me. Like, it's not even about, like, I know better than the people who voted for Donald Trump. It's not just that I think she would be better. I think he's dangerous. I think the damage caused to our process by the Electoral College picking Hillary Clinton is not as bad as the damage to our process as having a president who continues to run a company and uses the office to make money. I don't think it's as extensive as the president that has no regard for our intelligence agencies or our foreign policy or decades of relationships with China and Russia. Like, I don't know. I think that's worse.
And
I think
there are reasonable people who would hear all of that and say that Secretary Clinton has no respect for our intelligence communities because of the way that she treated classified information. I understand that we're all going to argue about that, but there are people who would say that. There are people who would say that the Clinton Global Initiative is as thorny and complicated ethically as the Trump businesses. I understand that a lot of us are going to disagree about that. But this is what I'm saying. We can't make decisions about our process based on things like the relative weighing of who is more dangerous for our country. And Sarah, I'm not
and
trying to argue. I agree with you.
maybe that's true. And I think that's all fair enough. What I think it's, you know, I don't agree with it. I think it is disregarding reality. But whatever, I get it. I get how people could see that. But you can't argue with 2.8 million votes.
But that you can say that is not our system, you know? And again, like, I feel so weird because I'm talking about this as though I'm fighting with you on the outcome. I'm not, you know, it's just, I think we have to be very measured in our approach about what we want the Electoral College to do.
I don't know. I'll be measured when Donald Trump is measured. Donald Trump's not measured. And that's my problem. Like, I just,
that's
I guess
not how
that's
we want to be though. You know, ugh. Like that. I don't know.
I just think that he is, I was trying. I want credit for trying. I tried with this man, but it's like there's just such disrespect for the office itself that I have so much trouble swallowing, like, and acting like it's just, you know, it's just another Republican that I disagree with. I don't feel like that about him. I think he's dangerous. I think people will die if this man stays president, and not that people wouldn't die if people would die no matter who's president, but it's just, I don't know. Like, it's just, I read this, I think it was Bloomberg does this like pessimist predictions. And last time they predicted that Donald Trump would win the presidency and everybody was like, ha ha ha. But they're just like, you know, you're talking about perhaps the worst, if we go to trade war with China, the worst recession in Chinese history. You're talking about if we continue this line of diplomatic relationships with Russia or then we decide to, it's gone too far and we threaten Russia and then we cut off all ties with Cuba, and then Cuba says, hey, you know what, Russia, you can put a base over here. Like, it's just, then we're back in what, the Cuban Missile Crisis? Like, this is not, like I said, I don't feel like this is just because of the foreign relations issues he's had so far. I don't feel like it's just like, oh, well, they're equally bad, and it just depends on if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I don't know.
Well, first of all, I mean, we've said this before, he's not a Republican. I agree that these comments about his refusal to take daily intelligence briefings are so disrespectful to the office.
And dangerous.
I don't understand when you have no experience whatsoever in a topic saying, I don't really need to have this topic repeated to me daily. No, that's exactly what you need, right? That's exactly the thing that you need when you have no experience on a topic. And even when you know it, to catch the nuances, to catch the, you know, tiny things that might seem insignificant and to connect those dots and find themes and just develop a relationship with the people involved with that work. I think that's so important. And I think it's such a mistake and really despicable in a lot of ways that he's not taking those briefings.
Well, and I just was reading Evan McMullen's thing about he was at a meeting with Donald Trump in the House Republican leadership. I guess he was there under his sort of intelligence role. I don't know. And they were, you know, asking him basically basic constitutional questions. And Donald Trump was like, oh, yeah, I'm really into Article 12. Like, not even not a thing. It's not a part of the Constitution. And just like misciting it. And I mean, is that not a place for the Electoral College to stand up and say, we can't put someone who's going to raise their right hand and swear to uphold the Constitution who fundamentally does not understand the Constitution and shows no desire to understand the Constitution? Like, this isn't, I don't know.
To your point about international relations, we have some very troubling and tumultuous, and I guess tenuous is a better word, situations in the world, regardless of who's walking into the Oval Office. And so when people say maybe a new approach with China is called for, I can hear that. I can understand that completely. When people say maybe a new approach with Russia is called for, I can hear that. Now, I can't hear it in terms of let's be best friends with Vladimir Putin, who I completely agree with John McCain, is a thug and a bully and a murderer. So I am not on board with the strategy of cozying up to Russia. But a new approach in some of our situations, I think, is perhaps welcome. I just think it needs to be an informed and careful approach. And unless Trump is much more masterful than I believe possible, I don't see that happening under his administration. Now, this is why I continue to say on Twitter, much to the dismay of lots of our listeners, and I love every one of them who gets angry with me about this, I want people, like, I'm not bothered at all by this parade in and out of Trump Tower, because I want people to meet with him. I want people to take his call. I want anyone who could possibly contribute positively to our government to do that. I'm not going to mock Mitt Romney or Carly Fiorina or anyone else for being willing to serve in the administration, even if there's a self-serving component, even if there's a total flip-flop in the action. Like, I want our administration to be as strong as it can possibly be. Because these are big, scary decisions that are in front of us for the next 4 years. And, like, let's put the best team on this that we can.
Ugh, I don't know. I just... I don't even know. It's just really stressing me out. Like, I think that he could really, really, really do some damage. And the only thing that's right now that's making me feel better is that he is such a terrible manager that there's more just infighting and sort of internal wars that I hope will just preoccupy him enough. But it's just so sad and disturbing, and it just makes me angry. I just don't think that we should have this dangerous man for president because of 80,000 people, when you have 2.8 million people, more people that voted for the other person, and foreign interference from Russia. I'm sorry. I just, those three things add up to me to, like I said, Electoral College, please save us.
Well, I think we should move on that. So in the heels, I thought we could talk about, beyond politics, what is a source of passion for us right now?
Well, beyond politics, what I'm finding myself doing is wanting to leave every part of the world behind. So I find that the only thing I want to watch is British period dramas. I want to be in a different country. And I want to be in a different century. That's what I'm passionate about right now.
So The Crown plus what?
Well, I'm done with The Crown. I finished that a while back. And now I moved on to, I watched The Death Comes to Pemberley, which is sort of like a Pride and Prejudice sequel, which was amazing. And then now I have started The Paradice, which is the BBC I don't think they're equivalent, but it's like a little about a shop girl who comes to this other little town. So I've watched a couple episodes of that, but I think being in that it's the early, I think it's like 19, set in like 1910, early 1900s. I still think it's a little too close in time to today and I might have to go further back. I mean, I'm really looking at like mid 1800s is as current as I want to be.
Well, I am in a very different place in terms of my passion today. I feel like because the national scene I find so sort of spiritually dehydrating, that's apparently my phrase for the day, because I feel like it says exactly how I feel right now. I just want to like get lost in local things. And I've talked a little bit about doing that lately. And one local thing that I am just super passionate about is our shelter that I've talked about on the show before. And Jane is now helping me raise money for the shelter. And she is really into it. And I'm just really excited about that. We have raised close to enough money now for 30 people to stay at the shelter in the month of December, and we want to just keep going with that. So I will put a link in the show notes in case anyone is called to contribute to that effort. But I just feel like so sucked dry by this whole national conversation, that it's helping me to focus on, like, what can I do something good about, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, thanks for joining us for another episode. Thanks for engaging with us, as always, around the show. We will be back with you on Friday for another episode. And, you know, you do you. So if you're out of nuance, that's fine. But otherwise, we hope that you will keep it nuanced, y'all.